What is up, No Nation? It's Jesse from Plant the Spear here with you guys to share some initial thoughts after the Florida State Clemson game ends. And unfortunately, it didn't quite go the way we thought, but it actually wasn't as bad as we expected. I mean, honestly, I thought this game was going to get out of hand. And when it got to, 17-0 early on, I thought that it was probably going to get out of hand relatively quick. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. I know it's kind of late here, but you know, I just want to come and share some initial thoughts with you guys because, you know, it's weird. Like, you never feel good with a loss, and you never really feel good with, you know, Florida State being 1-5. That's never the place you want to be. But in a strange kind of way, this might be the most encouraged I've been after a loss, the most not extremely disappointed that I've been after a loss this season. So, I mean, I really think there are some positives that you can take away from this game. Unfortunately, there's still some of the negatives that, you know, there are still some negatives that have plagued this team throughout the entire season that really hurt this team again tonight. And that was really disappointing. But yeah, I mean, Katie, I got to agree with you here. She drops in the chat, this was the best loss we had to watch this season. It's not where we want to be as Florida State. It's not, but you know, I mean, I'm somewhat encouraged after this. And I mean, as bad as that is to be as a 1-5 team with a loss to Clemson, unfortunately they're late. Clemson did get a score, so you didn't cover, but you came pretty close, for, you know, for what it's worth. I mean, covering, losing doesn't really make a difference here, but I think really the biggest takeaway from this is you have found your quarterback. You have a guy here that gives you hope, that gives you encouragement. I think the team played better. They responded to him in this game. I think they looked very much like they played a little harder. But, you know, it's just still, man, some of the things that are really disappointing in this is, you know, first off, the drop passes are just, man, they plagued this team so bad. And it just kills this team because, you know, you look at Brock Glenn, his stats on the night. I mean, they weren't terrible, but if you count for the drops, I mean, 23 of 41, 228 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but then once he settled in, man, he really started playing well. The drops, man, they just killed this team. I really don't know what was worse in this game, the offensive line, and we're going to get to that in a minute, or the drop passes. I mean, those two have to be the two biggest takeaways from this game besides Brock Glenn playing well. I mean, you think about, like, if Brock Glenn if they don't drop those passes, and I'll be interested to see when the PFF numbers come out. Those will be out, you know, by the time we record again next week. I bet there had to be, 6 drops. Not only that, but you also have the one pass that was, probably 30, 35 yards called back. The one to Malik Benson that got called back on the holding call. That was pretty disappointing too. But really, I mean, if you think about it, Brock Glenn probably legitimately throws for well over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game if they could actually catch the passes. Really, and 2 touchdowns in this game passing. I mean, DJ threw for 4 touchdowns this entire season in 5 games? And Brock throws for half as many in 1 game? And really, you know, when you talk about what Brock is doing, what he did in this game, I think it's even the more impressive when you consider that you have receivers who aren't catching the ball consistently. You have an offensive line that really can't pass block very well. And you had no running game to help him out. That was disappointing too. I mean, Florida State had 22 rushing yards in this game, and most of that was by Brock Glenn. Now, you, of course, these aren't going to be sack-adjusted yards. These are, of course, because he took a few sacks in this game. But you had 29 rushing yards by your running backs, which is just disappointing. I mean, when we start, I don't really want to start with too much negative here, you know, because we've talked a lot of negative this whole season. But Brock Glenn was really very encouraging in this game. And I think you have to roll with him the rest of the season. I know he came up a little bit awkward on that last minute slide there on the very last play of the game, but I did see some comments on social media that said that he jogged off the field. So hopefully he's okay. You do have a bye week to rest up and heal up before that Duke game. But man, I mean, really, I think there's a frustrating aspect to this, right? I think you have to be a little bit annoyed here that, you didn't make the switch sooner, because I think if you had switched to Brock halfway through the BC game, because let's face it, very first game against Georgia Tech, DJ made some mistakes, but it wasn't terrible. But then the BC game where he was missing wide open touchdowns and things like that, I think you should have made the switch then. If you do that, this team is probably 3-2. I mean, let's be honest. You know, they're not 1-5, that's for sure. And so I think that at least gives you – it's frustrating, right, that that happened. But I think it's also a little bit encouraging knowing that going forward, you can probably still win some games with Brock at quarterback. I mean, if you can start catching the ball, you can probably beat a team like Duke, UNC, maybe even a Florida team. I know they were kind of beating up on UCF tonight. But, man, a quarterback makes all the difference in the world. But, you know, I think if you want to go to the negative, I mean, again, like, you know, Kristen here says, Atkins and Dugans have to be fired, man. I mean, the position groups they're coaching are just really bad. And, I mean, it's not wrong. You know, we've talked about in some of our previous shows where we asked the tough questions about staff changes. Yeah, I think both of them have to go, because this offensive line is an embarrassment. And, I mean, you can't run the ball. You can't pass block that well. And even then, what's so disappointing about it, too, is, like, these are mostly veteran guys. I know Otto was starting tonight at guard because Richie Leonard is out for the season, and he's a young guy. So, like, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to have growing pains with young guys, right? You're going to see that. But I think what's the most disappointing is, like, you have a fifth-year senior at center who's played a ton of football, and he's had so many bad snaps this season. You had the one that cost you 17 yards and killed your drive. I mean, that's an absolute killer. You just can't have that happen from a veteran guy. And really, when you look at this team, like, I think, and I tweeted this out during the game, if you're a Florida State fan, and we are all, you know, who are watching this, if you're a Florida State fan, you don't want to be 1-5, right? You don't want to be in this position. This is never where you want to be at. But I felt like in the first five games, you just, man, there was just no hope, right? There was no hope that this was going to get any better. It was just kind of rolling the same thing out there. This team was just not fun to watch at all, because it was just kind of the same stagnant stuff every week. Tonight changed a little bit of that, right? You saw from some of the young guys on here on this team that you have pieces to build around. You just have to keep them in the fold at the end of the season. You have to go out and recruit some help for them. You have to fix the line of scrimmage, because it is absolutely killing you. So you gotta do that. But it does give you some encouragement, right? You do feel like there are some pieces to build on around this team. I mean, first off, the young tight ends really are showing out. Like, I don't need to see, no offense to the guy, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I don't need to see Kyle Moorlock the rest of the season. I mean, what these two, Amari Williams and Landon Thomas, have done for this offense as young guys, these tight ends, I mean, they are really playing very well. And so that is extremely encouraging here. I mean, Landon Thomas, 7 receptions for 80 yards tonight. Amari Williams, 1 catch, 13 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, he had a drop there too, but you know, really, man, again, I just think you're encouraged from a lot of the young guys here. I think seeing Brock Glenn is a good option for you at quarterback. I was kind of hoping to see Luke Cromanhawk tonight, but also I felt like as long as we were in the game, you probably weren't going to see him. I thought that was going to be like if it got out of hand and you were in mop-up duty, I thought that's when you'd see him. But I think you got something in Brock. I mean, you saw a little bit with his legs. I still don't love some of the play calling here, like the wide receiver screen on 3rd-and-2. I didn't really like that a whole lot. You had a 5-man box. I feel like you had one linebacker floating around the middle of the field. You know, I feel like you could have used Brock's legs to pick that up. You know, and still there's a lot of the things with this team that they just shoot themselves in the foot a lot, and it is so frustrating to watch. The penalties are just – They're killing you. They're killing you. The penalties, the 3rd-and-longs, my goodness. I mean, we thought 3rd-and-Kelly was bad. 3rd-and-Fuller is way worse than 3rd-and-Kelly. But yeah, I mean, it's rough. And like Alex points out here, the offensive line with a ton of experience is the worst in the country. And that's another problem too, is like last year in 2023, we said that you could see the problems on this offensive line starting to boil over, right? You could see them surfacing. And it was the most experienced offensive line in the country last year with 208 starts. This year, I think you're around 190, 193. You have a lot of experience on this offensive line, and they're just not good. they're not good at all. And I mean, if you guys remember the piece that I did on this offensive line with the trouble in the trenches, it paints the picture of how bad they are. And again, like, I'll be interested to see when these numbers come out, because Brock had to drop back and throw the ball a lot tonight. I'll be interested to see what the pressure numbers look like too, because it can't be good. I mean, there's a few times he had to run for his life, took a few sacks late there. But again, I mean, you're running for 22 yards, and I know that's not sack adjusted, but Stanford ran for 236 yards on this defense last week. I mean, maybe they tried to take the runaway and make the young quarterback throw the ball to beat them, which would have been a smart game plan by on Clemson's behalf. But you can't tell me that Clemson or Stanford could run for 236 yards and you can only muster 22. I mean, this is one of the worst rushing teams in the country. It just hasn't. I mean, that's been all season. This is not anything new. And this was the best front seven that you've faced so far this season. So I didn't expect them to run for a lot, but 22 is just, I mean, ridiculous. You're at 1 yard per rush, literally 1 yard per rush. You were at -1 rushing yards at the through three quarters. I mean, that is just, or excuse me, it was zero. Oh gosh. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget to give them credit for that 1 yard there. So that was disappointing, but man, I just think, you know, there's so many things that are still disappointing on this team. Now, as this Facebook comment points out here, you still can't stop the run. And you did give up 265 yards rushing tonight. That is still a problem. But I do think one of the things when you look at this defense, they actually played pretty well early on. It's just, you know, this offense, the offense took a little bit to get settled in. And it's kind of the same story week after week with this team, right? The defense plays well early. The offense kind of musters out early in the game. The defense starts to get tired, and then they start to give up plays late in the game. Their red zone defense was great tonight. I mean, really, they had two blocked field goals. They held Clemson to a lot of field goal attempts. They gave you a chance in this game. I mean, realistically, you got to think at some point, you know, you're not going to win too many games in the modern era of college football not scoring 20 points. And I know the points didn't necessarily follow along tonight, but you know, if Darian Williamson doesn't drop that pass, that's another touchdown right there. So, I mean, you're looking at probably putting up over 20 just from basically Brock Glenn putting this team on his back. And so that is very, again, it's encouraging, man. It's just like this team was actually somewhat fun to watch tonight. And that's the first time this entire season that I've actually watched this team and been like kind of holding your breath at moments, right? Like they're making big plays. They're moving the ball down the field. You know, I mean, the defense wasn't perfect. You still gave up 500 yards this year or this week, but I don't think it was a terrible defensive performance. You just kind of got gashed late with that big Phil Maffa run, which is what you couldn't really have happen there. But you know, you got some pressure on the quarterback. You kind of beat Cade Klubnik up a little bit there. He was only 19 of 34 for 235, so really wasn't too bad there. But, you know, again, man, I just really think that there are some encouraging things when you look at the young side of this team. Now, when you talk about the defense and the young players, like you have a couple of good players on the defensive side in the trenches, but you still got some warts there on the defensive side of the ball, too. I mean, I've been really disappointed in Conrad Hussey so far this season. That's been a real disappointment. His tackle there where like he tried to shoulder tackle the Clemson receiver, ended up taking out another Florida State DB and ended up giving them a touchdown. That's pretty disappointing there. You know, when you look at the defensive line, I think Daniel Lyons is a guy that you can build around in the future. And I do think it is time to go youth movement, right? Because one of the biggest things that I saw in this game was the youth is impressive, right? And I think as a Florida State fan, you have to buoy your hope in a disappointing season that you have pieces to build around. And I think you have to go youth movement to see what else you got, because this season is basically over, right? I mean, you're not going to make a bowl at this point, more than likely, because you're probably not going to win out. So you have to start using this as basically a 2025 training camp. And so if you do that going forward, you need to start seeing what you have in some of these other young guys. But I don't think you need to bench all the older guys. Like, obviously, you're not gonna bench Josh Farmer. I mean, he's your best defensive tackle right now. So you can still play some of those guys. But, you know, the defensive side going forward, you're going to need to recruit some guys in the trenches too, because this defensive line needs some help to be able to stop that defensive or stop the rush, excuse me. But you know, man, again, I still think the quarterback difference makes so much of a difference with this offense and this team. I think that you're going to look a lot better going forward because, again, remember, this was Brock's first start of the season. He only had, what, two drives against SMU. Now you get a bye week to go in and give him a full week of prep as the starter, and then you get another full week of preparing for that Duke one, so that Duke game. So I think you can definitely build off of this with Brock. But, man, you got to find some guys who can catch the ball. And, you know, one thing I was saying during the game is, like, these young tight ends have really shown out. And so with that, I'm ready to see some young wide receivers. Like, where's Elijah Moore? Where's LaWayne McCoy? Like, give me some. I mean, you can. I'd rather watch a freshman or a sophomore go in there and drop the ball than a senior. I mean, it can't be much worse. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's take a few comments from the chat here. Kristen asks, "Do you think if Alex Atkins just focuses on the offensive line and we get a good play calling OC, maybe Atkins could work out?" You know, Kristen, I mean. I want to say yes, but at this point, I think we've just not seen enough of the recruits pan out yet, right? Because we've talked about this in a previous show where it's just not been good, and you're just not seeing them pan out. And I don't know, he's not the play caller, so I don't know how, you know, I'm sure he focuses mostly on the offensive line throughout the week. It's not that I don't like Alex Atkins. It's just I think it's time to try someone different. And I really think you need to put a lot of your efforts into finding a really good offensive line coach. And you need to put a lot of your NIL efforts into going and building up these trenches. Because, again, man, this is a big problem for you. This is the major holdback on this team. I mean, if you had a good offensive line, you might have won that game tonight. I mean, but you just couldn't run the ball at all. And so Alex talks about here about our best run was when Cam Davis pushed the pile forward. Yeah, that was a very encouraging run. I mean, that's a strong young guy, and that was encouraging to see. And I think Cam, you can tell he's still young, right? He's still developing. He needs to learn to make guys miss a little bit better, but I mean, he runs hard and he's going to have a lot of experience going into next year. So, you know, I mean, we'll see how that looks going forward. But again, that's another young guy that you feel like you can build off of going forward. You know, Alex also points out here there's a lot of bending by the defense, but they really didn't break off. Offense is just averaging 14 points a game, and that's true, man. And that is what Adam Fuller typically runs as a defense, is that bend don't break style defense. And it can be frustrating to watch teams go up and down the field. But, I mean, if you're kind of keeping them off the board, that's not too bad. I mean, you held Clemson to 29 points. Probably needed to be a little bit better than that. But, I mean, you look at some of the positions that you put your defense in. I mean, stuff like that happens. So, but you did hold them pretty well. You know, you did kind of get away with some blocked field goals there. I mean, you blocked them, so it's not like they missed. So, you get credit for that. But, yeah, I mean, you just got to score more points, man. 14 points on average is not going to get it done. But, again, I think tonight, you saw the potential for more points to be there. Now, there's been potential for more points to be there throughout the rest of the season. I mean, DJ missed wide open touchdowns in the BC game, so there was points left on the board there. But yeah, I mean, you could see it. It dropped passes. Again, Darryl Williamson dropped a for sure touchdown. I think if Malik Benson doesn't, if that play doesn't get called back on a phantom holding call, because frankly, I think the guy just got bull rushed and got trucked and pancaked, and I didn't really see a holding call there. I think you probably could go down and get some points on that one. We touched on this earlier. Someone said that he may be injured. I was, if you're referring to Brock Glenn, I did see that he came up a little bit slow with that last slide that he made, but I don't think he's injured because someone said he did jog off the field, and you do get a bye week now for him to help heal him up. And yes, Joshua, I 1000% agree. Brock had better start from here on out. I think if they roll DJ out there, we should revolt at this point as Florida State fans. I will say that I did see today that he had surgery on his finger, so it looks like he is out for the season. That's what they're saying. You know, thank goodness. But, I mean, we wish him a speedy recovery, maybe just like after the Florida game. They said that he could get a medical red shirt or something like that, but hopefully he doesn't do that at Florida State because, look, I mean – what you've seen from Brock is better than what you've seen from DJ, and you have a guy that's going to be here for more years. So, I mean, there's no point in bringing DJ back. That experiment is over. It has failed. what you saw tonight from Brock. Because again, remember, what you've seen from DJ was against some not great defenses. I mean, they're not terrible. They haven't really faced any bad defenses yet, but it's been mostly average to mid-range kind of defenses. This is a good defense. And so, like, you actually saw Brock kind of light them up tonight. Again, like we talked about, if you weren't watching early in the show, had it not have been for drops, I mean, Brock probably throws for well over 300 yards. I mean, he had 228 and two touchdowns. He probably throws for over 300 yards and at least three touchdowns tonight if they could catch some passes. I mean, that would be, that would have been a really, really big game. I mean, the drop passes are absolutely killing you. And I think that's why Dugans has to go too, because you just can't drop passes like this. And passes, drop passes have hurt this team since 2022 that I can remember, at a minimum. And, you know, we got a comment here that says that we open with Bama next year. We need to go youth now. Yes, I 1,000% agree. I mean, I think there for a while, Mike Norvell was trying to win some games so you could probably, like, get that extra bowl practice at the end of the year if you could become bowl eligible. Look, that's probably not going to happen this year. So I think going forward, you at least got to use this as a training camp for 2025. And I think now is the time to do that. You know, I would like to see some more young guys. I would like to see what you got. I don't really need to see Maurice Smith anymore, man. You're a fifth-year senior snapping the ball over the quarterback's head. And I know the one was a 17-yard loss, and Brock probably – he saved another one where he jumped up and caught it. I mean, that is just inexcusable stuff from these upperclassmen. And, you know, really the funny thing is, like – and it's not really funny. It's disappointing, but – when we talk about how encouraging it was to see the young guys play well, these veterans are a constant letdown. I mean, Ja'Kai Douglas, he did have the touchdown late, which was a dart by Brock. Very nice pass. But he also had a drop that hit him in the hands. I mean, your veteran offensive line is terrible. There's just so many veterans on this team that just aren't living up to the hype, and that is really disappointing. So I think, yeah, I think you need it. There's a couple guys – like we mentioned, like a Josh Farmer, even a Shaheem Brown, those guys can still play. But I think a lot of these guys, a lot of the veterans, they do need to be benched, for lack of a better term. Deep South Fishing says, really need to clean up the penalties too. Yes, man, those penalties are killing us. They are drive killers. You know, they gave Clemson probably, they really aided that first drive where they went down and scored, or the second drive, with their first scoring drive, where they went down and scored. Penalties were a really big part of that. Amelia Island Knoll says, hey, y'all. So what's up? We appreciate you guys tuning in. I know it's late here. Just wanted to share some thoughts with you guys after this one, because for once, I don't actually feel terrible after a loss. I mean, I never feel good after a loss. I don't want to lose games ever. But, you know, again, man, it's just like you saw some encouragement. You saw some things that can make you hopeful for the rest of the season. And so, you know, I think Alex brings up a good point here, that we were absolutely in this game tonight. If you just can't get out of your own way, I think that's the big thing, man. Florida State has so many chances to be in this game, and it's just like they just repeatedly shot themselves in the foot, whether it be a penalty, whether it be giving up a third and long, whether it be, you know, allowing the quarterback to get sacked when they shouldn't have. I mean, it's just these things that just repeatedly frustrate you with this team. And, you know, again, some of the play calling was frustrating too, to be honest. The timeout late in that game was kind of like, what are we doing? You know, you gotta know your team, man. You gotta just kind of take what you got and go into halftime with that. And so, you know, again, just getting to some comments here, you know, Amelia Island Knoll says 1-5, all kinds. I mean, it sucks. It does. We all feel that way. But you know, they're really liking what they see out of Brock. And again, you know, I'm with you there. So the young bloods on this field are really making an impact. And that is, again, that is what really encourages you as a Florida State fan, is seeing the young guys. I mean, again, you got the Edwin Josephs, you got, Cam Davis, you got all these guys, Landon Thomas, you had all these guys tonight that were playing well, Amari Williams. I mean, that's a guy that came in as an edge rusher and is now one of your best tight ends. You got Brock Glenn. I still think Luke Kromenhawk is probably the future at the quarterback position. But, man, I mean, the way Brock looked tonight, again, had it not have been for drop passes, he probably – I mean, so you look at his numbers, 23 of 41, 228, two touchdowns and a pick. I'm going to assume we had somewhere in the 5 to 7 drop range. So you're looking at probably, 30 of 41 for 228 and 3 touchdowns, or probably, I mean, you got to be at least over 300 yards, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. That would have been a very respectable game. And so, you know, you just, as good as Brock played, this is the same thing that we said about DJ the whole season. Like, no, DJ's not good, right? And we wanted to see Brock. We wanted to see Brock. It would have been nice to see him the second half of the BC game. But at the same time, DJ wasn't getting any help either. And so, like, it's no matter who's the quarterback, you're still going to be fighting the same uphill battle with a poor offensive line and a lot of drop passes. So, like, that in itself, it's just really frustrating to watch when you got a guy who's out there laying it on the line and playing his butt off, and he's not getting help from the guys around him, you know? And I mean, yes, 100%, Alex, hashtag free them youngins. So let's do one thing real quick, because actually, Kristen, you just segued into exactly what I wanted to talk about here. How about Vanderbilt upsetting Alabama? Man, what a wild game. Hung 40 points on Alabama, too. That was really funny to watch. They carried the goalpost out the stadium all the way down the street, threw it in the river. Man, you know Nashville is going nuts tonight. That was a really, really fun game to watch. Really funny to watch Alabama. I mean, after, imagine the highs and lows of that. Like, you go from beating Georgia one week, you had them 30-7 at one point, to now you actually lose to Vanderbilt. I saw where they said on the broadcast, Vandy was 0-60 against top 5 ranked teams, and Alabama was, I think, like something crazy, like 62-3 or 62-5 as the number 1 ranked team against unranked teams, and they lost. And I mean, they gave it to them. I mean, they really did. Did they? Alex just said that Arkansas just beat Tennessee. Man, I was wondering. I had that game on, but I had to come in here and do this. That is wild. Tennessee lost to, let me just pull that score up real quick. Man, it is crazy, because 2024, man, this is almost one of the reasons why I thought that we might have actually pulled the upset on Clemson tonight, because I was like, man, there is so much crazy stuff going on this season. With 2024, it feels like 2007 all over again. If you guys remember that season, how crazy that was. Yeah, Arkansas wins 19-14. That's 2 top 5 teams that went down today. Michigan also just lost to Washington, 27-17. You know, Florida, they beat UCF, unfortunately, there. Duke takes their first loss of the season to Georgia Tech. That's who we have next on the schedule. You guys know that. Now, we're keeping our eye on it. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to jinx anything yet, but Cal is currently up 14-7 on Miami, so hopefully the Calgarithm can pull this off. But, yeah, I mean, Christopher chimes in here and says that need to get an OC from one of the top 15 schools. I agree, man. I tell you what. If I had like a Christmas wish list or a genie or something like that, I would go get South Alabama's offensive coordinator. That is a guy that I would really love to see over here, or just somebody. I mean, I do think we need an offensive coordinator this year. I think you need to get somebody where Mike Norvell can kind of put some of his focus back on this team, you know, and not so much on the offense. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have a good offense and he's not a good play caller, but some of the stuff this year has just really, really been crazy to see from him. But yeah, this has been a really weird season. You know, Missouri today, which I always thought Missouri was kind of a fraudulent top 10 team. I mean, they always play close. Boston College took them to the wire, got beat like a drum today against Texas A&M, 41-10. A couple other scores that you guys might find interesting here. SMU goes on the road and beats number 22 Louisville 34-27. I did think that was pretty interesting there. SMU may not be a bad team. I mean, I had them one of my preseason ACC favorites. I still think that was a game we should have won last week. I think if you had Brock, you probably could win that game. Boston College loses to Virginia. That was a little bit surprising too. Boston College kind of falling apart there. North Carolina lost to Pitt. Pitt is having a rebound season. I think they were 3-9 last year. They're now 5-0. They lose or they beat North Carolina in Chapel Hill today. I think that's a game that we can win if you can get these guys. I mean, catch a pass, block somebody, and we can win some games. I'm telling you, like, they can beat Duke. They can beat North Carolina. They can beat Charleston Southern. I know it's hard. Like, I know it's hard to see the, you know, the forest through the trees when you're 1-5, but what Brock did for this team, man, I think you're going to see them really be encouraged and play hard going forward. So, yeah, crazy day in football, man. I can't believe Tennessee lost to and Alabama. Wow, man, what a day. USC loses to Minnesota. So, man, that's like what do we say so far? 4 or 5 top 15 teams that have lost. Man, what a weekend for college football. It would have been great if we could have been one of them teams to pull off the upset, but, you know, it is what it is. We're still just a disaster. I feel like we're the bad news bears of college football because we do one thing right and then we do 10 things wrong. But yeah, Pitt is actually 5-0. That's what's so crazy. There's some, you know, Duke was 5-0 until tonight, until they lost. They had a chance to be 6-0. So it's kind of crazy, man. This season has been, you know, like a good friend of mine that I talk to all the time. We were talking about how this feels like 2007 all over again because there's just been so many crazy upsets. I'm sure most of you guys remember that season. I think like Kansas and USF were like number 2 or 3 or something like that. Number 2 kept getting upset every week. It was just a crazy season. And man, it feels like that all over again to see all these upsets this week. But, you know, bringing it back to Florida State, I feel like even in this loss tonight, you know, we did see some positive stuff, and mostly from Brock Glenn and mostly from those young tight ends. I think you really have something there. I just really think you got to find some pass catchers who can actually catch the ball. I mean, these guys have been killing you all season long. I know Mike Norvell said recently in his press conference that, you know, the young guy, and he didn't direct this at the young guys, but I'm pretty sure this is who he meant, where he was like, you know, I see these guys saying that they say they should be on the field. They say they should be playing, but you got to do the things in practice to be able to show that. Well, the problem I have with that, right, is like, look at what you saw from what you said about practice with DJU and Brock. Like you said, DJ was the best practice player that you had. But then look at what happened on Saturday when you made the switch at quarterback. Like, practice doesn't really mean anything. Like, you're obviously not seeing what you need to see in practice when you thought DJU gave you the best chance based on what you saw in practice. I only care about what happens under the lights, and I understand practice is important, and that's how they gauge things, and I get all that. But what you saw in practice is obviously misleading because you thought Kyle Morlock, you thought DJ were your best chances. And so now you go to Brock and all that type of stuff and the young tight ends, and you're seeing that a lot, you know, in game situations. You know, some guys, as you guys know, some guys are good practice players, and that's something that Clemson fans told us about DJ all along. Like, look, he'll be great in practice, but when it comes to game time, he's a completely different guy. Some people are just gamers, and that's what I think Brock Glenn is. I think he's just a gamer. When the lights come on, the moment is not too big for him. Now, granted, like we said, he had a little bit of a rough start. Kind of took him a little bit to get in rhythm. But, I mean, once he did, it was off to the races. Yeah, I love seeing JT at the game tonight, too. I think, actually, Johnny Wilson was there, too. I did see a picture of him with the receivers before the game. You know, and actually, I saw Jordan Travis tweeted out after the game about how encouraged he was by the performance that Brock Glenn had. I mean, you know, that's his guy. He kind of like had him under his wing last year. And so I think that you can just see it, man. This team feels different. They play different. The energy felt different tonight with Brock Glenn as quarterback. And so, I mean, I think there's without a doubt, you have to roll with him going forward. And yes, Amelia, I totally agree here. His confidence is going to keep building. And that's why I think this, you know, we talked about this before the game, right? I told you guys, like, tonight may not look the greatest. And boy, it didn't look bad. But no matter what it looked like tonight, I think what you want to watch for with Brock Glenn is what you see tonight, and then you have that bye week, and then you go into Duke. Now, Duke's got a decent defense because, you know, Manny Diaz, he's a decent defensive coordinator. But that's a team you should be able to go in there and compete with and beat. And so I think I'm interested to see how Brock does with another start against a you know, different defense, right, with like Duke. So I think Man, because again, if they could have caught the ball tonight, he throws for over 300 yards and three touchdowns. It's just, it is what it is, man. And so I think if you give him another week to prepare as the starter and then a full game week with Duke, because again, remember, like when you look back to his previous starts, you talk about what Brock did before the ACC championship. That was when Tate was under concussion protocol. And so he didn't really even know he was going to be the full-time starter until they ruled Tate out for that game. And then in the Orange Bowl, Tate opted out late. So he really didn't have that whole month to prepare. So now this week was one of the first weeks that as a starter, he's had that full week to prepare. And so you saw the difference that it made. And really, if it hadn't have been for the receivers and the offensive line, and you also have to think, too, the pressure that is on Brock when you can't run the ball. I mean, there is no rushing offense. Like I said, we had literally zero rushing yards at the end of the third quarter. That is abysmal. So the game really was all on his arm. And, you know, do you think, I mean, we all know this is a rhetorical question for you guys, but do you think DJ would have made half these throws tonight? No chance. I think he would have been sacked a lot tonight where Brock was not. I mean, he got a couple sacks in there, but I think there's a few where he was able to escape the pocket where it would have been a for sure sack from DJ there. But, man, I mean, Brock throws a pretty ball now. He's really – I mean, he slung it in there. That touchdown to Ja'Kai was a beautiful pass. I mean, split the double – or split double coverage there. The pass, the two down the – I'm trying to think of Malik Benson, geez, the long one they got called back on the holding call. I mean, that's a beautiful throw, and he will sling it, man. He loves to throw it deep, I will say that. And this comment here I want to point out real quick says that we need to increase NIL funds for the offensive line. Yes, all of it. You need to give all of it to the – they say we got, what, a $2 million defensive line? We need a $2 million offensive line because this offensive line is hot garbage, and it is really killing this team. I know we put a lot of the blame on DJ. Most of the blame can be put on this offensive line. I mean, it is just terrible. Jeff Hill contributes to the show. We really appreciate that, Jeff. He comes in here and says, I like Brock Glenn, what I saw out of him. I think the kid has potential. My question is, how good of a man would he have been in game one after the Boston? Yes, Jeff, I'm with you, my friend. I think if you put him in, after, you know, I don't even know if after the Boston College game, I think halfway through the Boston College game, you could have put him in. I think you're probably at least 3-2. I mean, you had already had the loss to Georgia Tech. And like we said, DJ didn't play terrible in that game. Boston College, I don't know if you could have come back with Brock Glenn in there, but I certainly think you could have beat Memphis. I mean, you held him to 20 points. I think you could have beat Memphis. I think that you certainly could have had a couple more wins here. And I think this is a big misstep by the coaching staff. I really do. I think you probably would have been able to beat SMU on the road because remember that was a 5-point game at halftime. And then you come out and you have the pick there and the pick six later on in the game. I think Brock probably gives you a little more spark. You could have done that. So I think this is a big misstep by the coaching staff. Unfortunately, they made a mistake, and I don't think they wanted to admit it with DJU, but I think they made a mistake, and I think now they realize that. I think this was they have to kind of be like, oh, man, I'm really messed up after seeing this tonight. I mean, as much as they don't want, they're probably happy they saw it, but they got to be disappointed because that was a huge misstep to play DJ. Now, I do think we have to realize that, like, you had to bring a quarterback in at one point because you know, with the guys that transferred and Jordan leaving, you needed a guy because you didn't have Trevor Jackson at that point. He was a late commit. But I think it was pretty apparent that DJ was not the answer. The experiment should have ended early. And he's been injured, you know, not even the finger, the knee. He wears a knee brace. He always wears a knee sleeve. So I don't think DJ would have been terrible if he could have been mobile, but he's not mobile. And so at least tonight you saw where, like, Clemson actually respected the run a little bit from the quarterback there. And Alex, I'm with you here where he says, more importantly, we have to go fix recruiting. Losing too many recruits after Norvell and the staff live by the portal, die by the portal. I agree. Now, I will say to that point, I don't think the portal is all bad because – it got us where we were at, right? It got us out of the ditch, so to speak. I mean, Jordan Travis was a transfer. Trey Benson was a transfer. Keon Coleman was a transfer. Johnny Wilson was a transfer. Jared Verse. And the list goes on. So it can be okay. But, you know, we talked about this in one of our last episodes where if you can accent your roster through the portal, but you can't build the foundation from it. And that's what they've done here. And they haven't recruited well enough up underneath that. You know, I did some research a while back where throughout the playoff era, even dating back to our last national championship, every team that is that has been to the playoffs in since its inception has pretty much lived in that top 10 recruiting range. And Florida State has only, I think the best class we've had under Mike Norvell is around 12. So you have to recruit better or else you're going to keep seeing seasons like this. You just have to. And that's why I think you need a lot of changes at the end of the season. I mean, on the staff, because you got to find guys that can go recruit point blank period. And I think that really starts in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I think you have to make a change there, as painful as that may be on the defensive side, to let Odell go. But I think you got to, man, because recruiting is the lifeblood of college football. And we all know that. And I think right now you need to go youth movement, because you don't want to lose some of these young guys that you have on this roster. Because, you know, like we talked about earlier in the show, you have guys that you feel like you can build around, but you got to keep them engaged and on this roster. You don't want those guys to leave because they're going to be the ones that are going to be here to help you fix it. And Amelia, I do want to point out, she asked about the shirtless reading guy. So man, life was rough back in the day whenever Florida State played Clemson, and he showed up, I think it was the 52, it was like 52-10 game. And he said, I think it was like tickets were so cheap, he just showed up and decided to do some reading in Doak and catch some sun. And so I don't know if he was just trolling us in this game or not, but he actually showed back up to this one with the shirtless book reading. I did tweet that, a picture of that out. It's kind of embarrassing, but it kind of speaks to where we're at right now. But yeah, I mean, and Jeff, we appreciate the contribution here. He says, the one thing that I would like to see change is play some of these freshman receivers and see what they can do, because the veterans are dropping balls. Yes, Jeff, I'm with you. We touched on that earlier in the show. Look, this is the most frustrating. I mean, the offensive line really pisses me off, but the receivers got to be one of the biggest frustrations on this team. They just can't catch the ball. And again, it's Darion Williamson. It's Kentron Portier. It's these veteran guys. I think Malik Benson is fine. I think he's earned the right to play. But, you know, Jeff, what we were talking about earlier in the show was how you see these young tight ends, right? They come in here and they make an instant impact. Instant impact. You saw Landon Thomas last week against SMU, scores a touchdown in his very first appearance as a college football player. That's more touchdowns than the entire tight end room has scored this entire season. Comes in tonight, has another great game. I believe it was 7 catches for 80 yards. You saw Amari Williams come in, have a beautiful catch for a touchdown, stretched out, grabbed that one for a touchdown there. So why can't we do that with the receivers too? I mean, all we heard about in spring and fall camp was Elijah Moore, LaWayne McCoy. We've heard about all of these guys. Now, I will say, one of the things to do keep in the back of your mind here that is a little bit disappointing is the fact that you did lose Destin Hill for this season. I think he would have been a guy that would have been a great impact on this offense. Hopefully, you know, he's just injured. He should be back next year. Hopefully he sticks around and you get him back. But yeah, I mean, I'm about done with some of these receivers. But I think you also have to look back to, like, why is it that these guys like a Portier or like a Williamson are guys that are veteran guys, but they've never been able to stay consistent starters. I know there's been injuries in the past, but they keep getting pushed down the depth chart because they're just not that good. And they're showing you right now why that's happening. So Joshua, we appreciate the shout out to like and share this video. We appreciate you guys helping us reach other Noel fans. And Eddie asked about Conrad Hussey. You know, I talked about him a little bit earlier in the show. Man, it's so disappointing because he showed a lot of flash last year. And that was a guy that I had him as one of my breakout players this year. And, you know, just the tackling is so piss poor on his behalf. And it's tough, man. I mean, it's tough to see guys, these shoulder tackles that, you know, and this is something where maybe I differ from other people. I'm sure some of you guys probably agree too. But I think they need to start tackling in practice. And I know a lot of teams don't do that. I know, you know, Fuller said that they do tackling concepts. I know you're worried about injuries. Man, I think you got to tackle in practice. I think you got to make guys tough that way. I don't know how many teams do tackle in practice nowadays, but it just creates toughness. And man, I think they need to start tackling in practice because the tackling on this team is, frankly, it's pretty poor. And it just creates that toughness. So, yeah, I mean, there's some more comments about Fuller can go and Dugans and Atkins. I agree. I think at the end of this season, I mean, you could argue that there should be some firings mid-season right now, but at the same time, I think with Atkins, I don't think you're going to see a change there to the end of the season because he is kind of, you know, he's still your offensive coordinator, and it looked pretty bad with him on suspension. Hasn't really looked a whole lot better since he's been back. I don't think you need to fire him now. I think you wait till the end of the season. But, yeah, I think you really need I think you're probably going to see somewhere between 4 and 6 assistants get fired, but I mean, to me, outside of like David Johnson, because I think your running backs are okay. I just think they're running behind a trash offensive line. I think your secondary is good with Sertan. There's a couple guys here that aren't working out too well. But I think really those are the only two guys that are safe. I mean, I keep trying to defend Adam Fuller from a standpoint that, like, if he makes changes on his defensive staff to get some recruiters in here, like maybe you bring in a different defensive tackles coach, you bring in a different linebackers coach, maybe even a different defensive end coach, maybe move John Papuchis just straight to your special teams coordinator. Maybe you can buy him some more time. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think after a season where you're 1-5 and you're probably going to go 3-9, 4-8, I don't think anybody's safe. I really don't. And I think everybody can be looked at under a microscope, but I definitely think Atkins and Dugans are really the two that they got to go, man, because this offensive line is just an unmitigated disaster. And it's all experienced guys. That's the thing that's so frustrating about it too, is like everybody here has experience. You have almost everyone on this line has thousands of snaps of experience. Now, of course, like we touched on, Andre Otto is a young guy who's having to start because of injury. And Jalen Early is a guy who's playing too. Man, he got absolutely whipped on one play against Clemson tonight. But again, anytime you play young guys, you're going to have growing pains. And we did see that with a couple of plays, even with the young guys, but they're consistently playing better. They're consistently showing more effort. I think really that might be one of my biggest disappointments with some of these older guys, is it's just a lack of effort. And so when you see these young guys come on the field and play hard, I mean, the talent gap is not that big of a difference. So just playing hard. I mean, yes, you're going to shrink your playbook a little bit and your scheme because they haven't learned all that stuff yet. But at the same time, I mean, if you got guys out there loafing, then give me the young guys who are going to play hard. Christopher, I would like to see Charles Lister too. Now, I don't think that it's been all bad from your secondary, because Charles Lester is a corner, and I think really you've got some safety problems there. Quindarius Jones is a guy that's played good too, but I would like to see what he's got. And I think you will start to see him in some games as well. Cause you, again, these are guys that you want to keep engaged in this program. So, you know, man, we'll see. Someone said that UF will trash us, but we'll see. I don't know, man. Florida's probably not that good. Again, you also have to remember, like, they're not really playing anybody good right now. So they got a lot of losses coming. I mean, that tough stretch of schedule, we'll see. It really just depends, man. I think right now, and I want to point out this comment from Amelia here that says, finally saw some spark and spirit tonight. Yes, I think you're at a crossroads tonight, because in a way, I feel like this was a good time to bring in Brock. It was a bad time to bring in Brock because it should have happened way earlier. But I feel like you're at a bit of a crossroads tonight, right? Because the SMU game was the worst game this team has had all season, from just an effort, a quit standpoint. They just looked dejected. They didn't look like they knew what they were doing. They looked poorly coached. And a lot of that stuff still showed up in the Clemson game. But it's like I wanted them to play hard for Brock, because I knew Brock was going to play hard for them. And so now you wonder, like, it's another loss. And I don't think any of those players are going to go into the locker room and be excited because they lost to Clemson 29-13. I don't think anyone's going to enjoy that. But I do think that you have some winnable games on the other side of this bye week. Because remember, we go into a bye week now. So you have an opportunity to keep coaching up these young guys who are going to be a bigger part of this offense. You have an opportunity here to get Brock some more experience. And Brock's performance tonight and the tight ends that you saw are definitely something that you can build on. And so you just hope going into the second half of the season that this team doesn't give up, right? You hope that the quit factor doesn't become a problem because the team is so bad. You hope that guys continue to rally around each other. because, you know, again, like I understand that, that, you know, we did give up 500 yards to a kind of an average Clemson team, but, you know, a lot of that came late because the offense kind of, you know, again, like we talked about earlier in the show, this is the same story every time. Like the defense plays well early. The offense sputters. The defense is on the field a lot. They get gassed. And then late in the game, there's only so much that they can do. So I think when you go into the second half of the season, like you can beat Duke. You can. Duke's not a great team. I think with, and when I say you can beat Duke, I mean based off what I saw from Brock Glenn tonight. Like if you would have brought DJU in, like if you would have brought him back against Duke, you know, we've never lost to Duke. We're 22-0 against Duke. I was seriously, seriously worried that winning streak was going to be in jeopardy if DJU was your starting quarterback. But I think with what you saw from Brock tonight, because again, if you can clean up these drop passes and penalties, I don't think there's anything you can do about this offensive line. They're bad. They're going to be bad. It is what it is through the end of the year. But I think if you can go in here and you can clean up some of these drop passes, maybe get some of these young wide receivers in the game, I mean, Brock would have thrown, again, for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns tonight. I think what you saw from him is encouraging enough that you can beat a Duke. You can beat a North Carolina. You can beat a Charleston Southern. You could probably beat a Florida team. I mean, because, again, they're going to be dejected when they lose, like, the next 5 or 6 games once they get to the meat of that schedule. I don't know that you're going to beat Notre Dame, but, I mean, you know, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. You never know. I don't think you're going to beat Miami, but at the same time, like Miami, let's see, they're losing to Cal right now, 21-10. So, hey, let's throw a quick U down real quick. We don't want to jinx anything yet, but let's throw that in there real quick. 21-10. Let's go Calgarythm. You know, they had a close game against Virginia Tech last week too. So it's funny because we always talk about Miami. They got really arrogant because they beat a bad Florida team. And then they got fat off some cupcakes, FAMU, Ball State, some not really good teams. Then they have they got lucky against Virginia Tech. They should have lost that game. The ACC refs bailed them out, and now they're down 21-10 to California. 7:16 left in the second quarter is when we're checking this. So hopefully Cal can hang on. I'm not gonna get too excited yet, but yeah, man. I mean, Miami's. Maybe they're getting exposed a little bit. We'll see. I was worried. Well, not worried, but I was thinking with that long trip out west and Cal's good defense that maybe it would give them some fits. But, I mean, you know, again, man, the quarterback position changes everything for a team, and you guys know that as well as I do. And so I think, like, I do think this team will rally around Brock's performance tonight. Like, again, they're going to be disappointed in a loss, but I do think that they will realize that, you know, we talked about this before this game. Going into here, I didn't expect us to win. Goodness gracious, I picked us to lose 45-17. Sorry, y'all. So this was better than I thought, but I thought this was about the game within the game, which is what you wanted to see. You wanted to see Brock play well. You wanted to see some of the young guys play well because I thought we would see more young guys than we had all season tonight, and that's what we saw. So there was a lot of things that you saw that were positive. And again, like a lot of the front sevens that you're going to see from an offensive line perspective, I mean, you've been getting whipped by worse teams, but this was the best front seven that you're probably going to see all season. Miami might be a close second. So, you know, the offensive line, I mean, Otto is a guy who's very young. So the more experience he gets, Jalen Early is the guy who has been encouraging throughout the season. So if you can start developing those young guys and get this offensive line just remotely okay. I mean, they're not going to be good, but if you can get them remotely okay, you can still win some games the rest of the season. And the good thing about that is I think you can win some games while you're in the youth movement too, because you have enough encouragement here from what you saw from your offense tonight. So I think you can still go youth movement and you can still win some games here, but you got to figure out how to cut the mistakes. You got to stop shooting yourself in the foot, and you have to start helping out your quarterback, and that's big. So, you know, we're coming up on midnight, coming up on an hour here. So we're going to get ready to kind of close this thing down here before too long. I just want to bring you guys a quick word from our sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. Got all the great FSU gear that you need, 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, or you can shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. Go find you, you know, maybe they got maybe they'll have a Brock shirt coming out soon. I might have to send them a message and tell them to put out a Brock shirt or something like that. But you can save 10% with Coach Spears, so make sure you do that. But yeah, so now we transition into a bye week. 1-5, like we mentioned, is not where we want to be by all means. But, you know, something that I said last week during that SMU game was like, this is one of the most lackluster to watch teams I can ever remember at Florida State. I mean, there's no big plays. There's no big hits. There's nothing really exciting about watching this team. And I think tonight that actually was not the case. I mean, it was disappointing in a loss, but you saw some big pass plays. You saw a couple of touchdowns. You know, again, if Darian Williamson doesn't drop that pass, you probably put up over 20 points for the first time since Georgia Tech. So there are some little things that you can build off of after this game. But man, there's just still the things that have plagued this team this whole season: drop passes, the offensive line, poor tackling, and penalties. And those are things that, you know, they last time when they had a bye week, they said they went back to fundamentals. They're like, we're going to work on us this week. And I think that's really what you got to do. I mean, these guys got to go out and hit the jugs machine, throw some extra time with Brock. I mean, catch the damn ball. I mean, that is really what it comes down to. Make a play. I mean, if you got a freshman that can go out there and catch the ball and you got guys that are juniors and seniors that can't catch it, that's just inexcusable. You know, a fifth-year senior snapping the ball over your quarterback's head repeatedly, that is inexcusable. So hopefully they take the bye week to work on some of these things, you know, internally, work on things on themselves before you even worry about focusing on Duke. Now, Duke is a Friday game, so it is a short week there. So you will have to kind of be focused on them a little bit early there. And yeah, I agree, Amelia. Catch the damn ball. That's all it is. I mean, you got to go out there and you got to make a play. You got to help your quarterback out. I mean, you got a guy who's out here laying it on the line. And, you know, that is the thing about, I want to say about Brock too, but it's like, you know, we talked about how I thought Brock would lay it on the line for this team more than DJ would. You know, he would stretch out for that first down. He would lower his shoulder. He would take a shot. And that's the thing that, man, I think that drives this team. I think that drives their effort because he did show that he would do that tonight. And so he will lay himself on the line. So I think you will see a lot of motivation. I think you'll see this team continue to play hard. I think they do know. I mean, every time you have a team like Florida State, they're going to go into every game expecting to win, of course. But I don't think this team was surprised that they lost to Clemson. I mean, they knew what the challenge was. So they think they're going to win, but they know they're realistic. But I think this team does think that after, you know, coming off a bye week, they should be able to beat a Duke team. And goodness gracious, I mean, if they're going out there playing football, because if you've ever played football, you know, it's hard. It's hot. It's sweaty. You're getting beat up. It's, you know, it's a rough sport to play. You want to win games. And so you feel like you got some games that you can win on the other side of this. You saw how much of a boost it was after the Cal game, after they won, which didn't really help in the SMU week. But, you know, if you could get a little bit of momentum behind Brock's performance, go out and beat Duke, man, that would really roll over into that Miami game. Because again, that's a Friday game. So you get an extra day there to maybe prepare for Miami. And you know, Christopher says with the bye week, they need to practice every day. I agree. And they need to practice the fundamentals, because that's the most head-scratching thing about this team. It's the fundamentals that they're bad at. It's not even like the advanced stuff. It's catching the ball. It's blocking. It's tackling. It's the basics of playing football that they cannot seem to get right. And it's a lot of veteran guys who have played a lot of football. And so, you know, I think if you can use this, I think a bye week came at a great time, right? And I think Brock's performance came at a great time, because now you feel like you at least have some hope. You know, as FSU fans, this has been one of the roughest, most dejected seasons that we've been through in a really long time, since the 70s probably. And so it's tough, but tonight was just a shift in belief. You know, you're still disappointed. Like I said, you don't ever want to be 1-5. You don't ever want to be in the position that we're in. But I do think that this game actually gave you some hope. It actually makes you feel a little bit better about the rest of the season and going forward, because you saw some stuff from the young guys. And Mark asked here, do I think that Brock Glenn is the quarterback for us to build with next year? You know, I got to say that, like, I still think Luke Kroman Hawk is the best quarterback on this roster. I do. But I do think that Brock Glenn, what he showed you tonight, again, if you account for drop passes and the poor pass blocking, this would have been, you know, this would have been a 300-plus yard performance and three touchdowns against Clemson's defense, the best defense you faced all season. You can't ignore Brock. I mean, you can't, because he's only, like, I think it's clear that Brock needs to be your starter the rest of the season. And so if you give him these last six games to continue to get better, I think he's going to be in the position to succeed next year. He's going to be in that quarterback race. The one thing I will say too, though, is I know Luke is also a mobile guy, but the problem is I don't think you're going to fix this offensive line in a year. Now, I know as much as people don't like the portal, you're going to have to go and hit the portal next year. And I think you're going to have to go find a couple of playmakers. I don't think you need 15 transfers like we've done in the past, but I think you do need five or six guys to really accent this roster. I think you need to go get, you got to do something in the trenches. You're going to have to, because you're going to lose Farmer and a couple of other guys. So you need to really go, really hit about five or six transfers, right? I mean, spend the money, do what you got to do. You got to get some high level transfers on here and to help supplement this roster, because you just haven't recruited well enough. So you're going to have to. But man, I really think with Brock's mobility, and we didn't see a ton of it tonight, but we saw some of it with Brock's mobility, I think he has to be in the picture for the starting quarterback competition next year, because he's a guy that can help out that bad offensive line. And a couple of more comments real quick here. Bo Weevil says that your quarterback played well. He didn't get much help from the running backs and the wide receivers. No kidding. Defense can play in the red zone. You guys will be all right. Go Tigers. So we appreciate that coming from a Clemson fan. You know, I'm sure Clemson fans are probably a little disappointed in their performance tonight too, surprisingly, from seeing this. And then Jeff chips in again. We appreciate that. Says that, you know what makes me mad? We wouldn't have saw Brock if DJ wasn't hurt. Yeah, no, I agree, man. Like, you know, I hate to say this. This is going to sound really bad, but, you know, hey, sometimes the Lord does things for you that you can't do for yourself. So, but I agree, Jeff. I think they would have rolled him out. You know, Norvell said last week that, oh, I was going to make the switch anyway after the last pick or whatever, but I think he would have rolled him out for Clemson. I do. And I think it's a black eye on the staff. It really is. My guy George from the Renegade Report says, what's up? He's watching along here. So we appreciate George tuning in here. Make sure you guys go check out the Renegade Report. I was just on his show previewing this matchup on Friday night. Great guy over there at the Renegade Report. A lot of great insight there. So make sure you go check that out on YouTube as well. And George chips in and says here that we are playing 80% high school guys this year, and it's no development went on, apparently. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, man. Like, you have got to develop better, and you've got to recruit better. I mean, we got some good guys on this roster. That's what I was talking about earlier, George. I know you're probably doing your post-game show, but, like, you saw the encouragement tonight that you have pieces you can build around. Like, I am really, really encouraged by the quarterback performance, really encouraged by the young tight ends. I'm really ready to see some of these young wide receivers, because you see the impact the young tight ends are making on this team, and you see the veteran receivers just keep dropping the ball. So I'm ready to see that as well, ready to see some of those young guys. But you can see where you can build off of next year. But I also think you got some deficiencies, and so I think you really have to go out and figure out some recruiting, because it's just it's not been good enough, and so you have to stack some more talent on this roster. You just have to, because you got the good young guys, but you need more, and so I think you need to recruit. You got to recruit better. So we'll see, man, because still it's going to be interesting to see at the end of the year the staff changes that they make, because again, I think you need to really do a full-on overhaul in your staff. I think you need to do a full-on overhaul in your approach and how you go about things. You got to focus on your high school recruiting and less on the portal. So, man, I mean, that's why I think next year, though, I will say this before we get out of here. Like, I think next year you have some winnable games. Like, I looked at that schedule, and it's not a murderer's row. Of course, you got Alabama game one, which ain't going to be great. I think Miami's going to be a flash in the pan, because once they lose Cam Ward, you know, without Cam Ward, they're still down 21-10 with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. I think they are very much a flash in the pan team. They got 11 transfers on that team. They're going to lose their running back. They're going to lose Cam Ward this year. You know, they're one quarterback injury away from being like a 7-6 team or 7-5 team. So, I mean, you got a couple of tough games next year. Of course, you probably, I think you got to go to Clemson next year. But there's a lot of winnable games on this schedule next year. But you're going to need some help. The trenches. I cannot say it enough. We see the young skill guys. I'm not worried about your skill positions. I think linebacker is a problem that you need to go out and get some help. But the trenches are, this offseason, I think you got to make a change at defensive line coach. You got to make a change at offensive line coach. And you have to put a boatload of money into fixing the trenches. And now, granted, you might go get some guys out of high school. They're probably not going to help you next year. So you're going to have to go get some transfers there. But, you know, there's some guys that Florida State missed out on this year, whether it was for NIL reasons or whether it wasn't a good fit or whatever, that are playing well at other places. So you need to go out and make sure you hit it right this year. Now, you won't have a bowl, so you'll have plenty of time to go out and evaluate and go recruit guys and get to the trail early and make these staff changes that are going to come, because they're going to have to. But again, you know, not where you want to be after a loss, 29-13, you're 1-5. That's not where you want to be. But at the same time, there are some things that I was very encouraged by tonight. Just that the play of the young guys. And I think now that Mike Norvell saw what these young guys have done, I think they're going to continue to play more and more young guys. I mean, again, Mike Norvell, I think he's just sick of it. And I think he's looking for guys who are willing to step up in the moment. So when you see a Darian Williams drop a pass, when you see a Portier drop a pass, he's going to look for other guys who want to catch it. I mean, again, Morlock, I don't know if he even played tonight. I think I heard his name called one time, but I don't know if he even played. And so, like, when you're not performing well and other guys are, they're going to take your job. You know, that was the one thing that I always appreciated about Willie Taggart, was he came out and he said, you know, it's your job to win the starting job, and it's my job to recruit someone to take your job. And I feel like that's always the way it should be. You know, Mike Norvell has always been a loyal guy. You can't be loyal. You got to put the best product on the field every week that you can, you know, and they made some missteps. Talking about DJU gives you the best chance to win? Apparently not, buddy. So that was a big misstep there. So with that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We are over an hour. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Jeff Hill, I appreciate you contributing to the show. Miami is still down to California, so let's hope they pull that off. One more before we go. Drop a little quick you down there. Hopefully this will humble them a little bit, because, man, they thought it was 2001 all over again. So we'll see, man. But crazy day of college football. Vanderbilt upsets Alabama. Arkansas upsets Tennessee. Texas A&M beats the brakes off Missouri. So many crazy games today in college football. We will be back next week to talk with you guys about it. It is a bye week. We're still going to do some shows here. Obviously, for those of you who live in Florida, I want to just say our prayers and thoughts are going out with you as the storm approaches. You guys be safe, be smart. So we may have to kind of pivot with how we have Michael on the show next week, because he's going to be impacted by that storm. So, but we'll be back. We'll be talking about some stuff. I'm excited. You know, I got a little bit of hope. I got the little candle in my heart. It lived to fight another day. Because, you know, it's funny. I always make the joke about how, like, I'm a bug to a bug zapper, where it's like every week I tell myself, like, don't do it, man. Don't get encouraged. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. And then I come right back and the fan in me gets excited. But, you know, I don't want to be 1-5. I don't want to be excited after a loss. But, man, what you saw from Brock Glenn was enough to buoy my hope for another week as you go into a bye week and then you go to that Duke game. I'm actually probably thinking about going to that Duke game. I wasn't going to if DJU was still the quarterback. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm only 3 hours from Durham, so I was actually going to maybe skip that if DJU was the quarterback. But now that I think Brock Glenn is looking good, I think I might make that trip up there. So if you're going to be at that Duke game, if you're in the Carolinas, make sure you give me a shout while you're there. I'll give you guys some further information about that as well. Amelia, I appreciate it. She says, great show, Jesse. I appreciate you guys watching, tuning in, and commenting. And so with that being said, guys, we'll go ahead and end it here. I thank you all for tuning in. Hey, look, wasn't the result we wanted, but we finally got something to be a little bit to give us a glimmer of hope. So until the next one, we'll catch you guys next week. Thank you for everything. And as always, go Noles.